Welcome back to the lab. Here we go again, grappling with a topic that is near and dear to many. Remember, this is an audit of what the Bible says, not what we want it to say. Check these claims out on your own for verification. The objective: every believer operates within a network of divine empowerment. The source code, Scripture, indicates that the Holy Spirit distributes specific instruction sets, spiritual gifts, to every individual for the purpose of building up the body. However, a critical system error often occurs when users conflate general gifting with specific authorization for office. This paper, QTM 206, serves as a dual-purpose audit. First, to provide a diagnostic framework for identifying individual spiritual gifts, and second, to define the rigorous hardware requirements for the pastoral office. Quote, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4-7, NIV. The data points. We will analyze the primary gift registries found in the source code. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. We will distinguish between natural talent, legacy hardware, and spiritual gifts, system upgrades, and examine the confirmation protocol, how the body validates an individual's internal sense of calling. Quote, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11-12, NIV. What this audit does not claim: that women are ontologically inferior to men, that women cannot teach, lead, or exercise spiritual gifts, that egalitarians are not Christians, that this is a first importance issue on par with the resurrection. What this audit does claim: that the source code restricts the office of elder or pastor to qualified men, that this restriction is grounded in creation order, not cultural accommodation, that faithful Christians can disagree on this issue while sharing the same gospel. The methodology: our audit follows the Berean protocol. The Berean Jews were called more noble precisely because they examined the scriptures every day to verify even the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, NIVE. The logic: testing claims about God is not arrogance, it is obedience. We are commanded to test them all, hold on to what is good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21-22, NIV. We will present the biblical requirements for the pastoral office, including the complementarian view on male leadership and the historic Christian position on sexual ethics, with intellectual honesty. We will acknowledge revisionist and egalitarian counterarguments, but our primary task is to determine if those arguments can be compiled using the source code alone, or if they require external philosophical patches. The data point: we will not only test the restriction texts, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11-14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34-35, but also the permission data, women prophesying, Acts chapter 2, verses 17-18, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 5, leading, Micah chapter 6, verse 4, and bearing foundational witness, John chapter 20, verses 17-18, to avoid a selective or one-sided audit. The logic gates: the audit of the pastoral office requires navigating several high-friction logic gates. We will move beyond cultural user interfaces to examine the explicit qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1. These are not arbitrary choke points. They are design constraints specified in the source code for the protection and health of the body. Quote, "I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet, for Adam was formed first, then Eve." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12-13, NIV-E. Quote, "Here is a trustworthy saying: whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money." 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1-3, NIV, E. Quote, "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9-11, NIV, E. The logic. When we examine texts like 1 Timothy 2, 11-14, and 1 Timothy 3, 1-7, we will track both the gender-coded language, the husband of one wife, and Paul's appeal to creation order and the deception narrative, 1 Timothy 2, 13-14, NIV, asking whether these are local cultural patches or part of the architect's enduring design. The goal. The intent is not to exclude for the sake of exclusion, but to honor the design God established for His church. By the end of this audit, the user should be able to distinguish between gift, character, desire, and confirmation, allowing for a clear identification of genuine calling and a faithful application of the biblical standard for leadership. The data point. Scripture itself distinguishes between matters of first importance, the death and resurrection of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4, NIV, NIV, and questions of church order and office. The logic? This audit operates at the level of church structure and obedience, not salvation. Faithful Christians, united around the same gospel kernel, may disagree about the configuration of offices while remaining within the apostolic faith. We seek to align with what the Bible says, not what we wish it said. 1.0 Case Study: The Southern Baptist Convention, SBC, The Complementarian Protocol. 1.1 System Overview. The Southern Baptist Convention, SBC, operates on a complementarian architecture. This operating system asserts that men and women are equal in essence and value before God, ontological equality, but are assigned distinct, non-interchangeable roles in the home and the church. Functional distinction. The official doctrinal standard, the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, codifies this logic. While both men and women are gifted for service in the church, the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by Scripture. BS and M 2000, Article 6. The source code, E. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11-12, NIV, E. 1.2 Historical Context. Historical Log, the 1984 SBC Resolution on Ordination and the Role of Women stated, "We encourage the service of women in all aspects of church life and work, other than pastoral functions and leadership roles entailing ordination." This position was reaffirmed in the Baptist Faith and Message 2000, responding to what was viewed as a progressive overwrite of the pastoral office. By anchoring the office in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the SBC treats the gender gate as a hardware specification rather than a cultural patch. 2.0 Section 2, The Historical Logs, Tradition and Practice. 2.1 The Status of Tradition, M. In this system's audit, church history is treated as a secondary log. While the source code, Scripture, is the final authority, the historical logs reveal how the code has been executed, patched, or overwritten by various system administrators, church leaders, over 2 millennia. The data point, C. The Vincentian Canon refers to Vincent of Lerins, 5th century, who defined true doctrine as that which has been believed everywhere, always, and by all. The logic, I, applying the Vincentian canon to the pastoral office, male-only eldership was practiced everywhere, always, and by all, until the 19th and 20th centuries. This does not make it automatically correct. The church has been wrong before. But it does place the burden of proof on those proposing a change. Historical Log, C. John Chrysostom, 4th century, commenting on 1 Timothy 2, wrote, "The divine law indeed has excluded women from this ministry, but they endeavor to thrust themselves into it. Homily 9 on 1 Timothy. 3.0 The Logic Gate, Synthesis and Application. 3.1 The Office versus Gift Distinction. I. The primary logic gate used to resolve the tension between the permission data, women prophesying serving, and the restriction data, women prohibited from teaching authority, is the distinction between spiritual gifts and ecclesiastical office. The gift logic, e. The source code lists spiritual gifts, including teaching, leadership, and prophecy, without gender-specific restrictions. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another miraculous powers. To another prophecy. To another distinguishing between spirits. To another speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one, just as He determines. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, NIV. The Fall Bug, E. Paul explicitly links the restriction protocols to the fall narrative. Quote, to the woman he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children, your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. Genesis 3:16, NIV, E. Quote, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived, it was the woman who was deceived, and became a transgressor. 1 Timothy 2:13-14, NIV, E. The counterargument, C. Egalitarians often argue that he will rule over you. Genesis 3:16 is a curse, not a command, a distortion introduced by the fall. In this view, New Covenant redemption restores the pre-fall mutuality. The audit response, I. While redemption restores relationship, Paul appeals to creation, Adam formed first, not just the fall, suggesting the order is a feature, not a bug. The helper variable, E. Quote, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Genesis 2:18, NIV, E. The logic, I. Egalitarians note that Ezer, is used of God himself, Psalm 121:1-2, so helper does not imply subordination. Complementarians respond that the context, Adam named, Adam given the command, Eve, formed from Adam, for Adam, establishes a pattern of representative headship, not ontological inferiority. The primogeniture variable, CE. In the Old Testament, the firstborn son carried representative responsibility and inheritance priority. Quote, he must acknowledge the son of his unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double share of all he has. That son is the first sign of his father's strength. The right of the firstborn belongs to him. Deuteronomy 21:17, NIV. The logic, I. When Paul highlights Adam was formed first, 1 Timothy 2:13, NIV, E. Complementarians see more than chronology. They see a representative pattern consistent with biblical primogeniture. Responsibility flowing from first formed, not superiority of worth. The deception order. I. Complementarians do not read 1 Timothy 2:14 as teaching that women are inherently more gullible. Rather, they see Paul using the inversion of the design pattern, the serpent bypassing Adam, engaging Eve directly, as a guardrail rationale. When the representative order is reversed, vulnerability increases for everyone. The veil paradox. In 1 Corinthians 11:3-16, Paul appeals to creation order. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man, neither was man created for woman, but woman for the man. 1 Corinthians 11:8-9, NIV. To ground headship. Yet most modern churches treat the head covering application as cultural. The logic. Any coherent system must use a consistent rule to distinguish universal principles, headship, ritual dependence, from cultural expressions, head coverings. This audit applies the same rule set to 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 Timothy 2. The principle, headship, order, remains. The expression veils may vary, but the office elder is structurally tied to the principle. The silence protocol, E. Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, NIV. The logic. This text is notoriously difficult. Some scholars argue it is a later interpolation. Others argue it refers to disruptive speech. The audit notes that Paul in the same letter assumes women will pray and prophesy, 1 Corinthians 11:5. So silence cannot mean absolute muteness. The most coherent reading is that the restriction targets authoritative evaluation of prophecy, the governing function, not all verbal participation, the office logic, e. The requirements for the office of episkopos, episkopos, overseer elder, utilize male-specific syntax and are grounded in creation order arguments. Quote, here is a trustworthy saying, whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. 1 Timothy 3:1-3, NIV, E. Lexical variable. The restriction in 1 Timothy 2:12 uses the rare verb authentain, authentain. Related extra-biblical forms can range from perpetrator-initiator to one who wields full power. The logic, I. We do not hang the entire argument on a single lexical outlier, but on the broader context of 1 Timothy chapters 2 and 3 and the creation order appeal. The one-woman-man clause, E. The overseer elder must be the husband of one wife, Mias gynaikos andra, Mias gynaikos andra, 1 Timothy 3:2, Titus 1:6. Inference, I. Complementarians read this as a gender gate. Egalitarians argue it is an idiom for monogamy, applicable to both genders. The grammatical fact remains, the text specifies a man. 3.2, the trajectory argument, Galatians 3:28. A major friction point in the audit is the application of Galatians 3:28. The data point, E. Quote, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28, NIV. E. The context check. In the immediate context, Paul is speaking about justification by faith and adoption into Abraham's family, Galatians 3:26-29. He is not discussing church governance. The functional reality check. I. Even after the master code of Galatians 3:28, categories like Jew, Gentile, and slave-free remain functional realities in the New Testament church. Jewish believers still keep certain customs, Acts 21:20-21, NIV. Paul still sends a runaway slave back to his master, while reframing the relationship in Christ, Philemon, I. The logic, I. Spiritual equality and justification does not automatically erase all role or social distinctions. The question is not whether Galatians 3:28 is true, it is, but where and how it is applied. The trajectory data. E. Under the Old Covenant, priestly service was restricted to male Levites, Numbers 3:10. Under the New Covenant, all believers are called a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9. The logic. The audit question is whether this trajectory terminates in total role interchangeability or in ordered diversity. The pattern of the 12. E. Jesus chose 12 men as foundational apostles, Matthew 10:1-4. Inference. I. Complementarians infer a male pattern for governing office. Egalitarians respond that this choice reflects a local patch for a culture where female testimony lacked legal weight. 3.3. The matter matters. Application. I. Our core logic, matter matters, dictates that gender is not a software bug to be deleted, but a hardware feature of the Imago Dei. The architect variable. E. The hardware is architected with Christological significance. Quote, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Colossians 1:18, NIV. Quote, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Ephesians 5:23, NIV. Resurrection mechanics. E. Jesus teaches that, in the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Matthew 22:30, NIV. A logic. This terminates the marriage regime as we know it, but it does not say that human beings lose sexed embodiment. The body is raised, 1 Corinthians 15:42-44, NIV. Hardware is restored and recontextualized, not uninstalled. Gender remains part of the redeemed creation, even if marriage as an institution is transformed. Mutuality within order. E. Paul insists that in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. 1 Corinthians 11:11, NIV. E. Quote, "Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman, but everything comes from God." 1 Corinthians 11:11, 12, NIV. The logic. The system runs on mutuality within order, not raw domination. 3.4 Final audit conclusion. Internal coherence. To maintain bullet logic, any viable system must account for the full dataset without deleting hard verses. The restriction stack. E. 1 Timothy 2:11-14, 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, women silent in churches. Titus 1:5-9, 1 Timothy 3:1-7. The permission stack. E. Acts 2:17-18, sons and daughters prophesy. Acts 21:9, Philip's four prophesying daughters. Romans 16:1, Phoebe as servant deacon. 1 Corinthians 11:5, women praying, prophesying in the assembly. John 20:17-18, women as first resurrection witnesses. The auditor's verdict. The system is dual boot capable. Gifting is open. The Spirit distributes gifts to both men and women for the edification of the body. Office is restricted. The office of elder pastor is reserved for qualified men as a function of creation order and household management. The first important safeguard. E. Paul distinguishes matters of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, NIV. From other questions of church order. The logic. I. This audit operates at the level of ecclesial obedience and structure, not salvation. Faithful Christians can share the same gospel core while disagreeing about office configuration. The question is not who is saved, but what does faithfulness to the source code require of church governance? The Berean Protocol. E. The Bereans were called more noble because they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Acts 17:11, NIV. We are also commanded to test them all, hold on to what is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, NIV. The logic. Testing complementarian and egalitarian claims is not arrogance, it is obedience. This audit is an attempt to obey those commands, not to defend a tribe. Scripture, not labels, is the arbiter. 4.0 Section 4, The Egalitarian Protocol, The Pentecost OS 4.1, System Overview. The egalitarian architecture operates on the premise that the new covenant initiates a system restore to pre-fall mutuality. This operating system asserts that spiritual gifting, validated by the Holy Spirit, is the primary validator for ministry, overriding biological hardware restrictions. I. The data point. E. Texts like 1 Corinthians 12:7-11 and Acts 2:17-18 show the Spirit distributing gifts broadly, without stated gender restriction. The logic. I. Egalitarians infer that when gifts and restrictions appear to clash, the Spirit's gift distribution reveals the deeper intention of the architect, and the restriction text must be read in their local problem-solving context, not as timeless design specs. 4.2. The Source Code, Biblical Basis. This protocol prioritizes the execution protocols, Acts, and the Master Code of Galatians 3:28. The Co-Regency Kernel. Quote, "So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God He created them. Male and female He created them. God blessed them, and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it.'" Genesis 1:27-28, NIV. The reality. I. Genesis 1:2 never explicitly describes a hierarchy of authority before the fall, but it does show asymmetry. Adam formed first, Adam names the woman, etc. Egalitarians emphasize the co-regency of Genesis 1. Complementarians emphasize these asymmetries. Scripture does not give exhaustive detail on how leadership functioned pre-fall, both sides are inferring from limited data. The Pentecost Protocol, E. In the last days God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams, even on my servants both men and women. I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Acts 2:17-18, NIV, the Master Code, E. Quote, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28, NIV, E. The Priesthood Update. Quote, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. 1 Peter 2:9, NIV. 4.3. The Execution Logs, Permission Data. The system log shows the Holy Spirit frequently utilizing women in roles of doctrinal instruction and leadership. The Miriam Precedent. I brought you up out of Egypt and redeemed you from the land of slavery. I sent Moses to lead you, also Aaron and Miriam. Micah 6:4, NIV. The Deborah Anomaly. Now Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. Judges 4:4-5, NIV. The Huldah Precedent. Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum. She said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. 2 Kings 22:14-15, NIV. The Logic. Huldah authenticated the Book of the Law for King Josiah. This is a high-level doctrinal function. Egalitarians see this as evidence that women can hold authoritative teaching roles. Complementarians note that Huldah was a prophet, a gift, not a priest, an office. The Priscilla Variable. E. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man, with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Acts 18:24-26, NIV. The Logic. Priscilla, listed first, suggesting prominence, corrected a learned, competent male teacher in a private, non-assembly context. This is the execution precedent for high-level female doctrinal input that does not violate the 1 Timothy 2:12 restriction protocol. The Junia Variable. E. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Romans 16:7, NIV. The Magdalene Protocol. E. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. John 20:17-18, NIV. The Phoebe Protocol. E. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Romans 16:1-2, NIV. The Co-Laborer's Log. E. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Romans 16:12, NIV. The Daughter's Protocol. E. Quote, he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. Acts 21:9, NIV. 4.4. The Architectural Logic. Egalitarians utilize a trajectory hermeneutic, viewing Scripture as a movement from patriarchy toward gender mutuality, similar to the trajectory from slavery to brotherhood. I. The Slavery Parallel. I. Quote, formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. Philemon 11, NIV. Quote, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. Philemon 16, NIV. The data point. C. Historic Christians eventually rejected slavery, not by discarding scripture, but by pressing the internal logic of texts like Philemon and Galatians 3:28. The Cornelius precedent. CEI. So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Acts 11:17, NIV. E. The local patch theory. CI. Restrictions in 1 Timothy 2 are viewed as security patches for local Ephesian issues rather than universal hardware specs. The counterpressure. E. C. Even in 1 Timothy 2, Paul grounds his argument in creation order. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and the deception narrative, 1 Timothy 2, 13-14, NIV. E. 4.5. The validation protocol, confirmation. The system relies on the validation protocol, similar to Acts 15, confirming that the Spirit has already authorized the operation through manifest fruit and gifting. The reality check. C. Both complementarians and egalitarians can point to ministries, male and female with evident fruit, and others with serious failure. Experience is a noisy log file. 4.6. Summary. The egalitarian position maximizes the processing power of the church by utilizing all spiritual gifts. It prioritizes redemption and gifting over original functional order, arguing that the new covenant restores the co-regency kernel. I. 5.0. System configuration, the dual boot protocol. 5.1. The audit verdict. I. After running the full diagnostic on the source code, analyzing both the restriction stack, see sections 2.2-2.4, 1 Timothy 2-3, and the permission stack, see sections 3.1, 4.3, Acts 2, Romans 16, the audit concludes that the church is designed to run on a dual boot protocol. The gifting subsystem is open. The Holy Spirit distributes gifts, prophecy, teaching, exhortation, service, to both men and women, without restriction for the edification of the body. The governance subsystem is restricted. The specific office of elder overseer is restricted to qualified men as a function of creation order and household representation. The logic, double I. This is not a contradiction. It is a complex system architecture. Just as a computer system has user and admin privileges, the church has ministry and office distinctions. Both are essential. They simply have different access rights to the system core. The federal headship variable, E. In Scripture, Adam functions as a federal head, a representative for the human race. Quote, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people, because all sinned. Romans 5:12, NIV. Quote, nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. Romans 5:14, NIV. The logic, I. The restriction of the admin elder role is not based on superior processing power, competence, but on federal representation. Just as Adam represented humanity in the fall, the elder represents the household of God. The double honor clause, E. Quote, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. 1 Timothy 5:17, NIV. E. The logic, I. This text implies a distinction between elders who govern and elders who teach. Both functions are tied to the office, reinforcing that the restriction in 1 Timothy 2:12 targets the authoritative teaching governing role, not all forms of instruction. The Trinity safeguard, E. Jesus claims full equality with the Father, yet submits to his will. Quote, I and the Father are one. John 10:30, NIV. Quote, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. John 6:38, NIV. The headship chain. E. Quote, but I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 11:3, NIV. The logic, I, within the Trinity, there is equality of essence and order of function. This text explicitly links the man-woman relationship to the Christ-God relationship. If head, kephale, means authority over, the parallel holds, grounding functional distinction in the Trinity itself. 5.2. Harmonizing the tension, the friction log. Skeptics often point to the tension between women prophesying, 1 Corinthians 11:5, and women being silent, not teaching, 1 Timothy 2:12. The audit resolves this by distinguishing reporting from governing. Prophecy, reporting. E. In the New Testament, prophecy is the reporting of a revelation for the body to weigh. The security protocol. Quote, do not quench the spirit, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Reject every kind of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22. NIV. E. Teaching, governing. E. The elder is charged with defining and defending the deposit of faith. Quote, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Titus 1:9, NIV. E. 5.3, security warning, the hyperpatriarchy virus. A critical vulnerability in the complementarian system is the hyperpatriarchy virus, where the restriction on office is expanded to a restriction on being. The patch. E. The source code explicitly forbids this behavior. Quote, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Ephesians 5:25-26. NIV. The weaker vessel clause. E. Quote, husbands, in the same way be considerate, as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect, as the weaker partner, and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. 1 Peter 3:7, NIV. E. The logic. Weaker, asthenisteros, does not mean inferior or less intelligent. The context demands honor and consideration, not domination. The weaker vessel is to be handled with greater care, not less respect. Misreading this text is a primary vector for the hyperpatriarchy virus. The kenotic kernel. Quote, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Philippians 2:5-7, NIV. E. 5.4, security warning, the progressive override virus. The opposing vulnerability is the progressive override, where difficult texts are deleted or recoded to match cultural consensus. The warning, quote, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, NIV. E. The consistent rule. E. The audit distinguishes between universal principles, grounded in creation, te, and cultural expressions, grounded in local custom. Quote, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. 1 Timothy 2:13, NIV. Quote, if anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God. 1 Corinthians 11:16, NIV. E. The identity check. E. I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, except through me. John 14:6, NIV. E. 5.5, final execution instructions, for the user seeking to run a faithful church node. Maximize the gifting. Empower women to pray, prophesy, serve, evangelize, and teach in appropriate contexts. The permission log. E. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Acts 18:26, NIV. The Titus Protocol. E. Quote, likewise teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Titus 2, 3-5, NIV. The logic. This text explicitly authorizes women to teach, but within a specific context, older to younger women on specific topics. It demonstrates that the restriction in 1 Timothy 2:12 is not a blanket prohibition on all female instruction, but a restriction on the governing office over the mixed assembly. Protect the office. Reserve the role of elder pastor for qualified men who meet the hardware specs of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. Maintain the main thing. Keep the focus on the gospel of first importance. Quote, "For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, NIV. 5.6. Known objections and responses. Objection. Kephale. Kephale means source, not authority. Response. Even if true, the parallel to Christ God in 1 Corinthians 11:3 still implies order, not interchangeability. Objection. Paul was just addressing local problems in Ephesus. Response. Paul grounds his argument in creation. 1 Timothy 2:13, not local culture. Objection. Junia was a female apostle. Response. Apostle, apostolos, can mean sent one, messenger, or the 12. The text is ambiguous. Objection. Galatians 3:28 abolishes gender roles. Response. The immediate context is justification, not church governance. Jew, Gentile, and slave-free also remain functional categories in the NT. Objection. 1 Corinthians 14:34-35 is a later interpolation. Response. Even if disputed, the restriction in 1 Timothy 2:11-14 is not textually contested and grounds the argument in creation order. Objection. Jesus was a feminist who elevated women. Response. Jesus did elevate women. John 4, Luke 10, John 20. But he also chose 12 men as foundational apostles. Matthew 10 1-4. Elevation does not equal interchangeability. 6.0 Section 6. System logs. References. 6.1. Primary source code, biblical data. The Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV, used as the primary standard for explicit data points throughout the QTM 206 audit. The Berean Protocol, Acts 17:11, the methodological standard for verifying all theological claims against the written source code. 6.2. Key verse log, the data points. Genesis 1:27-28. The co-regency kernel, dominion entrusted to male and female together. Genesis 2:17, 3:16, the original warning and the fall bug, introducing hierarchy. Genesis 2:18, the helper variable, mutuality within representative headship. Genesis 3:16, the fall bug, the curse introducing distorted hierarchy. Numbers 3:10, Levitical restriction, priestly service restricted to Aaron and his sons. Deuteronomy 21:17, the primogeniture variable, representative responsibility of the firstborn. Psalm 121 1-2, the Ezer-Azer parallel, God as helper, showing the term does not imply subordination. 2 Kings 22:14-15, the Huldah precedent, high-level prophetic authentication. Micah 6:4, the Miriam precedent, female leadership in the Exodus. Judges 4:4-5, the Deborah anomaly, female judicial and military leadership. Matthew 10:1-4, the pattern of the 12, male foundational apostles. Matthew 22:30, resurrection mechanics, the end of the marriage regime, but the persistence of sexed embodiment. Matthew 28:10, the Magdalene command, explicit instruction from the risen Christ to women, to carry a resurrection message to the male disciples. John 6:38, 10:30, the Trinity safeguard, equality of essence with functional order. John 14:6, the identity check, the non-negotiable core of the system. John 20:17-18, the Magdalene protocol, first witness and herald of the resurrection. Acts 2:17-18, the Pentecost protocol, the Spirit poured out on sons and daughters. Acts 11:17, the Cornelius precedent, recognizing God's bypass of traditional firewalls. Acts 17:11, the Berean protocol, examining the scriptures to verify truth. Acts 18:24 26, the Priscilla variable, doctrinal correction provided by a woman in a non-governing context. Acts 21:9, the daughter's protocol, Philip's Four Prophesying Daughters, Acts 21:20-21, Functional Reality Check, The Persistence of Cultural Customs Within the New Covenant. Romans 5:12-14, Federal Headship, Adam as the Representative Pattern for Humanity. Romans 12:6-8, The Gift Registry, Grace Capacities for Service. Romans 16:1-2, The Phoebe Protocol, A Female Deacon and Benefactor. Romans 16:7, The Junia Variable, A Woman Outstanding Among the Apostles. Romans 16:12, The Co-Laborer's Log, Women Recognized as Hard Workers in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, The Transformation Log, Sexual Ethics, and the Washing of the Saints. 1 Corinthians 7:7-8, The Singleness Variable. Paul commends singleness as a gift, implying husband of one wife functions as a moral fidelity gate rather than a universal marriage requirement. 1 Corinthians 11:3, The Headship Chain, the explicit ordering of Christ to man to woman to God. 1 Corinthians 11:3-16, The Veil Paradox, Creation Order Headship versus Cultural Expression. 1 Corinthians 11:5, The Prophecy Precedent, Women Praying and Prophesying in the Gathered Assembly Under Headship Assumptions. 1 Corinthians 11:8-9, The Asymmetry Data, Creation Order Rationale for Headship Based on the Origin and Purpose of the First Pair. 1 Corinthians 11:11-12, The Mutuality Clause, Interdependence Within the Lord. 1 Corinthians 11:16, The Consistent Rule, Distinguishing Universal Principle from Local Custom. 1 Corinthians 12:4-11, The Gifting Subsystem, the Spirit's Sovereign Distribution for the Common Good. 1 Corinthians 13:12, The Epistemic Guardrail, Now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, justifying a provisional, humble posture in configuring secondary matters. 1 Corinthians 14:29, The Reporting Protocol, Weighing and Testing Prophecy. 1 Corinthians 14:34-35, The Silence Protocol, Restrictions on Speech Within the Gathered Assembly. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, The First Important Safeguard, The Death and Resurrection of Christ as the System Core. 1 Corinthians 15:42-44, Resurrection Mechanics, The Raising of the Spiritual Sexed Body. Galatians 3:28, The Master Code, Equality of Status in Christ. Ephesians 4:11-13, The Equipping Protocol, Gifts Given to Build Up the Body. Ephesians 5:22-24, The Christ Church Typology, Wives Submit to Husbands as the Church Submits to Christ, Grounding Headship in a Christological Pattern. Ephesians 5:23, The Headship Variable, Male Representation in the Household. Ephesians 5:25-26, The Love Patch, Christ-like Love as the Antidote to Domination. Philippians 2:5-7, The Kenotic Kernel, Self-Emptying as the Definition of Biblical Authority. Colossians 1:18, The Architect Variable, Christ as the Head of the Body. Colossians 3:19, The Anti-Abuse Guardrail, Prohibition of Harshness. Philemon 11:16, The Slavery Parallel, Redemptive Trajectory Overriding Social Structures. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22, The Security Protocol, Testing All Prophecies and Holding to the Good. 1 Timothy 2:11-14, The Restriction Protocol, Creation Order Grounding for the Teaching Office. 1 Timothy 3:1-7, The Overseer Hardware Specs, Qualifications for the Office of Elder. 1 Timothy 5:17, The Double Honor Clause, Distinguishing Ruling and Teaching Elders. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, The Progressive Overwrite Warning, The Danger of Itching Ears and Myths. Titus 1:5-9, The Governance Subsystem, Defining and Defending Sound Doctrine. Titus 2:3-5, The Titus Protocol, Older Women Teaching Younger Women. Hebrews 7:11-12, The Change of Priesthood from Levi to Melchizedek entails a change of law, paving the way for a distributed royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9, The Priesthood Update, The Royal Priesthood of All Believers. 1 Peter 3:7, The Weaker Vessel Clause, Honor and Co-Inheritance. 1 Peter 4:10-11, The Stewardship Protocol, Using Gifts So That God Is Praised. 1 Peter 5:1-3, The Shepherding Protocol, leading by example, not by lording. 6.3. Methodological and historical logs, the audit trail. The Berean Protocol, methodological commitment to Acts 17:11. The Dual Boot Protocol, the synthesis of open gifting and restricted office. The Consistent Rule, distinguishing between universal hardware specs, creation, and local software patches, culture. The Slavery Trajectory Parallel, the seed logic of Philemon and Galatians 3:28, eventually overriding earlier accommodation texts, used as a trajectory model in the gender debate. Historical note: the role of women in the early Pentecostal movement, e.g. Amy Semple McPherson, as a validation log for the Pentecost Protocol. Historical note: the Council of Nicaea Canon 19 regarding the status of deaconesses and the laying on of hands. Historical note: Didascalia Apostolorum, circa 3rd century, early church order recognizing women serving as deaconesses with specific pastoral functions. Historical note: Origen on Phoebe, early commentary acknowledging Phoebe's diaconal role and service to the church, Romans 16:1-2. Historical note: Hildegard of Bingen, 12th century, a sanctioned female visionary and preacher whose authorized ministry functioned as a pseudo-exception in a male-administered system. Historical note: the Reformation and Post-Reformation confessions, e.g. Westminster 17th century, as standard config files for many complementarian systems. End of audit. Status verified, system stable. This is the Quantum Disciple.